Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Good evening, it's half past five. This is Update from Manx Radio, a 30-minute look at the latest news on the Isle of Man, plus background to the news, Manx sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates, and the newsmakers in person. Tonight, well, to frack or not to frack? That's the question. Do religion and politics mix? The Lord Bishop speaks out. The TT0 hiatus causes dismay within the industry. And more on the lorry deaths in Essex. This is Update from Manx Radio.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
First of all, the news headlines. Fasta Mai, Rhiann Evans.
Fasta Mai. The Manx Labour Party is saying debates about fracking are an extraction distraction. Green Issues coordinator Joni Farragher says regardless of the technique used, government shouldn't be pursuing projects in the fossil fuel industry given the climate emergency. A former MHK believes politicians are still coming to grips with social media. Phil Gawne, who was a member of the House of Keys in 2016, says some politicians still don't see the value in reaching constituents through sites like Facebook and Twitter. Captain John Quilliam is at the heart of a lecture at the Manx Museum this evening. Manx National Heritage Curator of Social History Matthew Richardson will talk about the artefacts relating to Captain John Quilliam, who served under Lord Nelson on HMS Victory at the Battle of Trafalgar. The lecture begins at 7:45 p.m. The Peel fireworks display, which was scheduled for tomorrow, will now take place on Monday due to bad weather forecast. The bonfire will be lit on the beach at 7 p.m. with the fireworks starting at 7:30. Headlines from further afield. Boris Johnson's going to push to hold a general election on the 12th of December, saying he wants to get Brexit done. The UK Prime Minister will formally ask MPs to back the plan in the Commons on Monday. Police have been granted extra time to question a lorry driver after 39 bodies were found in his vehicle in Essex. The 25-year-old from Northern Ireland has been arrested on suspicion of murder. A man's been charged with the rape and murder of Hull University student Libby Squire. The Polish national is due in court on Wednesday. And the family of Harry Dunn, who was killed in a car crash in August, say they're going to take legal action against the Foreign Office. They're questioning whether the prime suspect, Anne Sakulas, really did have diplomatic immunity when she fled the country. Those are the headlines. I'll have more for you at 6. I'm Rhiann Evans, Manx Radio News.
Benham Advocates. Call us on 639 350 or visit manbenham.com.
Got on my head. Thank you, Rhiann. Clear and cold through the night. The weather, oh my word, clear and cold with a light variable wind and the risk of patchy grass frost. 4 degrees.
Manx Radio weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
The overnight minimum temperature, Chehenya Friday, a dry and crisp start, then cloudy with rain from late morning up to 10 degrees. For Saturday, Jasan showers at first, then dry with a moderate to fresh northwesterly, 9 degrees. Saturday's top temperature, sunset tonight, 2 minutes past 6. Sunrise in the morning at 4 minutes past 8. Remember, the clocks go back this coming Sunday, 2 a.m. Sunday morning becomes 1 a.m. High waters at 19 minutes past 9 tonight. Low tide through the night is at 13 minutes to 4. And Friday morning's high water at 12 minutes to 10.
If you have failed double glazing units, Manx Glass and Glazing can help. Call 674 573.
26 minutes to 6, the loss of TT0 for the next 2 years continues to have repercussions. The managing director of the company which helped Duffy Motorsports bikes power via mobile solar energy charging unit rather than fossil fuel is at a loss as to why the class has been put on hold. Kez Scott is Managing Director of CAST Technologies in Stockport, Greater Manchester. He found out about the decision, but how?
One of our friends and partners over there, Alan Clegg from SCS, he actually sent me a link to your press release, and that's really how we found out.
What was your reaction?
Absolute disappointment. We start planning for next year's TT almost at the end of the previous TTs. And it's not just about research and development, it's about financial obligations as well. And we'd started to put our financial obligations into fruition. And to find out, sort of 3 or 4 months afterwards, we feel like the rug's been whipped from underneath our feet a little.
What is CAST Energy Technologies? What does it do?
We are a company that helps commercial premises and businesses reduce their CO2 production, energy saving, renewable energy, anything that lowers that carbon footprint, that's what we do as a business.
Okay, and how did you come to get involved with Ryan Duffy and Duffy Motorsport?
Well, that was at a closing party at TT18 through a mutual friend, Andrew Capone. I didn't know Ryan at the time, and we just got chatting, and I was asking about, the question was to Ryan was how do you charge the bikes? Being an electric bike and they're very proud of the zero emissions tagline, how are they charged? And he said, well, we charge them from diesel generators, which was still a bit of a shock to me because it wasn't really sort of 2018, 2019 sort of technology compliant. So we had a conversation. We said, well, we can do something about that. What if we could capture the sun's energy whilst in the paddock, store it, and then charge the bikes up? And Ryan understood it straight away, and the next 12 months were putting those plans into fruition, and we ended up there in TT19 being the first company in the world to do that.
Well, obviously there's a moratorium for next year and the year after. What are you hoping that the government of the Isle of Man will do?
Well, that is the million-dollar question, isn't it? We are talking to the Department of Enterprise at the moment. Who knows? My concern is that there are other electric bike races around the UK and in Europe, some with financial purses as well, that, you know, the teams may be better off putting their expertise into those. And with a two-year hiatus at the TT0, my concern is that they might struggle to get that level of interest back again.
In the fact that the TT led in a lot of cases, now they may have lost that lead.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the TT was the absolute pinnacle. But for us anyway, for electric bike racing, you couldn't get any better. That was the real test of what we could actually achieve with electric bikes. It would be a real shame for them to lose that kind of momentum.
Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Six. This is Update, Manx Radio's nightly look at the news between 5:30 and 6. It's also available as a podcast shortly after 6 o'clock.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
Everything's looking okay as far as the Ben McCree and Manannan. The Ben left Heysham at 12 minutes past 2 this afternoon, arriving in Douglas shortly before 6 tonight. Manannan left Douglas at 5 to 3, arriving in Liverpool just about now and leaving Liverpool at 7:15, back in Douglas at 10 tonight. In the meantime, the Ben will leave Douglas at 7:45, arriving in Heysham tonight at 11:30.
Like the Steam Packet on Facebook for the latest sailing information. Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
Debates on whether taking gas from the island's seabed would involve fracking are a distraction from the real issue, according to the Manx Labour Party. Green Issues coordinator Joni Farragher says regardless of the technique used, government should not be pursuing projects in the fossil fuel industry given the climate emergency. It comes after the company Kroger, which is surveying a find 8 to 10 miles off Mackledhead, denied that fracking will be used to produce gas reserves. It's a statement echoed by Chief Minister Howard Quayle, though neither party has detailed exactly which extraction method will be used. Mrs. Farragher told our local Democracy reporter Ewan Gorm the public deserve clarity.
So since I've written that statement, I did read Kroger's press release, which they released either yesterday or the day before, so after I'd written that statement. So what I was basing my statement upon was previous government reports on how they would envisage the process of extraction, which was hydraulic fracturing. The deposits that have been found in the Irish Sea are known to be tight gas deposits, which would require hydraulic fracturing to release them. It could potentially be that Kroger have found that they're not tight gas deposits. If that's the case, I think that they could do with letting us know.
Reading from their press release here, it says the reservoir rocks containing the gas do not require fracking and nor would consent be granted to do so. Does that not sort of alleviate some of the concern about the extraction process? The fact that they're saying consent wouldn't even be granted to do fracking or at least the term in its sort of more sinister context?
Sure. I mean, as I've said in my piece, I think that the what I'm going to call the extraction distraction is making fools of us all, really. The issue is extraction of fossil gas. It's not about the method of extraction.
So it's not about concerns that there might be earthquakes or the sort of thing you see associated with the onshore fracking operations that were happening in the UK. It's more about the climate emergency. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. If the method of extraction was to be hydraulic fracturing, that would concern me greatly. But in the first instance, extracting fossil fuels and pursuing fossil fuel extraction industry is not what we want to be doing in the situation that we're in right now. And that's my issue with this project.
Well, what about the argument that it could be used as a transition fuel to reorientate the Manx economy towards a lower carbon one?
Yeah, so we've heard that argument quite a lot. I think that argument would have maybe held a little bit more weight 50 years ago. At this point, having just declared a climate emergency and the situation that the world is in, mass extinctions, warming of our oceans, shrinking ice sheets, extreme weather events, and carbon dioxide levels at an all-time high in human history. These are, by the way, signs listed by NASA of the unequivocal nature of our climate system's warming. That situation that we're in right there mandates urgent action. We don't want to be another country and another generation that knows about the science but refuses to act upon it.
Those behind this project are promising great wealth for the island. Why should people listen to those saying that this should be left in the ground? Would this not be of a benefit?
I guess there's two ways to answer that. I think that most people would agree that if we're going to pursue a project that makes us money, it would need to be a project that we all felt was morally acceptable to us, which the fossil fuel industry is no longer morally acceptable. But secondly, the other side of this coin is that we have huge potential in renewable energy over here. And also we have a huge mandate from the government's own climate mitigation consultation to pursue projects that bring us renewable energy. That's the way that we could be making our money, and that's the way that we could be using our resources and our creativity and bequeathing a better world to our children and grandchildren.
Manx Radio's business briefing, powered by Y Manx.
Here's what's happening now. Sultan Manx on the Isle of Man has rewarded a local organisation for its work with elderly residents. Culture Vannins received a recognition award from the business for its outreach programme. It arranges live entertainment by local musicians for the residents of 15 care homes with hopes of having a therapeutic effect. The recognition award is as a result of Sultan Manx's corporate social responsibility programme and will provide Culture Vannin with funds to further develop its outreach initiative. Off the island, Waitrose and John Lewis are banning plastic toys from their Christmas crackers, using toys made from recyclable materials instead from next year. The company has also reduced by two-thirds the amount of plastic glitter it uses in Christmas wrapping paper, gift bags, advent calendars and crackers. Marks and Spencer's removed glitter from its entire Christmas range this year. And Sainsbury's is the first UK supermarket chain to stop selling fireworks at its 2,300 stores across the UK. It's 17 minutes to 6 on Manx Radio. This is Update.
The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsay Crookall.
UK and European stocks traded higher as traders remain in limbo over an unexpected delay in, guess what? The UK's departure from the European Union, while corporate earnings season gathers pace. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell as a decline in the 3M offset gains in Microsoft. The euro erased its earlier gains after business surveys pointed to stagnating economic momentum in the eurozone, while the Swedish crown rallied after its central bank stuck to its plan for a December interest rate hike. Oil steadied as concern over demand outlook offset a surprise drop in US crude inventories and the prospect of further action by OPEC and its allies to support the market. Gold held ground as investors awaited clarity on Brexit after the European Union delayed a decision on granting an extension to Britain and the US Central Bank policy meeting for clues on the interest rate trajectory. For the updates now on the markets, the FTSE was slightly up, just up 1% at 7328. The DAX in Germany up 0.5% at 12872. Shortly before 5:15, the Dow down slightly at 26,804. The S&P in Chicago up 0.1% at 3,010. And the NASDAQ for tech stocks up 1% at 8,179. The pound is worth $1.281 and the pound is worth €1.15.4. Gold is up 0.5% at $1,500 an ounce, and the Brent crude price for a barrel, if you want to, you'll pay $61.62.
When it comes to investing for the future and that all-important personal service, look no further than the award-winning team at Ramsey Crookall. Ramsey Crookall is the island's largest firm of stockbrokers and investment managers and have been servicing the investment community with a broad range of services for over 70 years. For that all-important personal touch and financial expertise, contact Ramsey Crookall. Telephone 673-171. Call into Securities House, Athol Street, or visit our website, ramseycrookall.com. Ramsey Crookall are members of the London Stock Exchange and licensed by the Financial Services Authority.
It would be a good trick if you could do it. It's actually $61.62. 5:45 on Update on Manx Radio, the topic of whether the Lord Bishop should have a vote in Tynwald. And a seat on LegCo is one that comes up fairly regularly, and it did so again recently. Manx Radio's news editor Tim Glover spoke to the Bishop, Bishop Peter Eagles. How does he read the current situation?
The Bishop and the vote in Tynwald, that's right. The Bishop is entirely unelected into Tynwald, or actually that is not quite true, of course, because when the bishop is appointed, parishioners, representatives from the island are part of the appointment panel. So in one sense, the bishop comes here by the invitation of a cross-section of Manx society, and it's perhaps worth bearing that in mind. Nonetheless, I sit ex officio in Tynwald and Lynn Legislative Council, and I understand that if you look at things in a purely democratic way, that seems odd. That stands in opposition to that. People have also said to me, though, that actually to have someone who is not elected and therefore not beholden to an electorate does bring a certain type of independence. And I suggest there could be value in that as well. So it is a complex issue, and clearly people feel strongly about it in different ways, and I understand that.
He was making, I think, the point that you could pass on your pastoral influence and experience but not have a vote.
That's it. And that is one point of view. I think it would be an odd feeling, though, to sit in Tynwald and give perhaps pastoral guidance to it, which is essentially the work of a chaplain, but not being part of the structure of it, not being part of the actual voting structure. I think that would be an odd sort of feeling in some ways.
And would it discourage you from really going?
I don't know that it would. I'd want to say, most of all, I think it's a great honour and a great privilege to be in Tynwald and in the Legislative Council. I have thought that from the moment I first arrived. It is a wonderful thing, and I take it really, really seriously. Of course, you know, it is a great gift. I think I would always want to support it as best I could. It strikes me that to be a voting member of Tynwald Court and of the Legislative Council puts me in the same position as my colleagues in the House of Lords in Westminster. That is derived from the Judeo-Christian tradition of governance and of public structure that we have in the British Isles. I'm open to that being reviewed. We had the very interesting debate on it last time when it was raised. And clearly it's a subject that isn't going to go away. But I hope those reflections on it perhaps are helpful.
6:12, so do you think politics and religion mix? You can always get in touch with Manx Radio by going to manxradio.com. It's 6:12, and this is Update on Manx Radio. I'm Andy Wint, and tomorrow, Douglas Ramsay and Peel welcome the Princess Royal. Her Royal Highness Princess Anne will meet with local business owners at Market Hall in Douglas tomorrow morning before moving to the north of the island. After opening the extension at the Ramsay Park Hotel, she'll head to Peel to officially open the new Harbour Bridge, as well as meeting those involved in its design and construction. Manx bard Zoe Cannell will recite a poem before the Princess Royal visits St German's Cathedral in Peel to visit the garden restoration. If you're off tomorrow, say hello.
Manx Radio's Update with Andy Wint. Manx Radio Sport.
With Chris Cave.
Master Mai, good evening. A coach for the Isle of Man under-18s hockey team has spoken of the potential of the current squad. Young players over here are eligible to play in a knockout competition for a composite side. They travel across, if selected, to play club sides in the UK, such as Deeside and Neston. Andy Neil is in no doubt the group of players currently training in the under-18s setup will go on to be senior stars in years to come.
100%, absolutely convinced that a lot of these girls who are in this side and a lot of the lads who are in the boys' side will move on to play in the Ireland setup. I think there's already some of the guys in this squad. They've got Elliot Reid in the boys' side, who's already playing Ireland side. Leah Goddard in the girls, who's already playing in the senior Ireland side. So it's proof that we've got the talent there, and this is just an opportunity to have a group specifically for them to go and play against their peers and really develop into senior players and be able to control a team around them.
Further afield, Manchester United manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer says he's spoken to the team about the UEFA protocol if they encounter any racist abuse this evening. They're playing away at Partizan Belgrade in the Europa League. Their opponents were ordered to play their last two matches behind closed doors due to racism. Rangers manager Steven Gerrard is appealing to fans to behave tonight and not sing any songs that could bring UEFA sanctions. They're away to Portuguese side Porto in the Europa League. Rangers have already had to close sections of Ibrox as punishment for sectarian chanting twice this season, and Gerrard is keen to avoid a reoccurrence. And Liam Williams is a doubt for Wales Rugby Union World Cup semi-final against South Africa on Sunday. The Lions fullback suffered an ankle injury in training yesterday. If not fit, Lee Halfpenny would likely replace him. That's your sport this evening.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions.
9 minutes to six at the airport. Everything's fine. The Heathrow arrival, due in at 25 past six, will be a quarter of an hour early, landing at 10 past six. The latest estimate is everything else is heading out on time. The Dublin 25 to six departed a couple of minutes late, but for the most part, everything's fine. The Matrix reporting on the roads, no problems at the moment. The Laxey spirit will not be dimmed, I'm still assured. The Glen Road closure in Laxey, although that's closed, everything is open for business in Laxey. The Curragh Road in St John's, aka the Foxdale Road in St John's, is closed for roadworks between Ballacrane traffic lights and the Western Amenity site. Access to the tip, sorry, the Western Amenity site is via the Hope. Spring Valley Industrial Estate, diversion in operation, temporary one-way system at Spring Valley near the sorting office for drainage pipe replacement. In Broadway and Douglas, you've guessed it, they're still at the prom. Promenade refurbishment and associated work. All the information at myprom.im, or you can call them on 686-363. Of course, still no vehicle access to and from the promenade to Broadway and Derby Road. Lord Street in Douglas, the one-way traffic scheme and closure of surrounding roads and footpaths at various times during the regeneration. Albany Road in Peel's got a temporary 24-hour two-way traffic signal operation there to facilitate service pipe and sewer connections. And the upper promenade in Port Erin still got the temporary closure of the footway and suspension of parking through till the middle of January next year. For your guidance and information, there's a current comprehensive summary of all travel news and issues on the Isle of Man for trains, planes, boats, buses, roadworks, and the prom at manxradio.com. And go to our community tab at manxradio.com. There's a page of links to 18 webcams across the Isle of Man.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions, 670-145.
The harrowing tale of the deaths of 39 people found in the back of a lorry in Essex goes on. Police investigating have been given extra time to question the driver. A 25-year-old man from Northern Ireland has been arrested on suspicion of murder. The eight women and 31 men, all Chinese, were discovered in the vehicle in Grays in Essex yesterday. Lorry driver Graham Westmoreland says containers need to undergo better security checks at ports.
When you're going through the scanners, they put a probe in to try and detect humans, and they seem to just get through. They're sealed at the point of loading. That seal's checked at various points. If it's still attached in good condition, don't raise any suspicions.
In Northern Ireland, meantime, a local unionist councillor, Paul Berry, has been in touch with the family of the driver of the lorry. He's DUP councillor in the village of Laurel Vale in County Armagh.
Well, firstly, the community's thoughts and prayers are with the 39 families of those who have tragically lost their lives. This is a dreadful situation and very, very sorrowing for many, many people. And the people of Laurel Vale and the surrounding area are obviously devastated off the news initially, but they're also stunned and shocked that someone local has been arrested in relation to this serious situation. The particular family are highly respected in the Laurel Vale area. I know the father and mother exceptionally well, and I hold them in high regard. But the community's shocked, they're stunned, and obviously everybody's waiting to see what happens next. But clearly we're leaving it in the hands of the Essex Police and now the PSNI, and the people who are responsible for this must be brought before the courts.
Just one final question. When you were in contact with the family, did they tell you what they were feeling about all of this, and do you know where they are now and how they're responding to it?
Well, I was speaking to the family yesterday before names were actually released, and obviously they just were stunned themselves. Obviously in pieces, I couldn't comprehend it, and obviously hoping that this has been a complete and utter mistake. And therefore, our thoughts are with the family, because this has brought such devastation and such media to their front door, and obviously that's unwelcome alone, but it's very hard for someone and a family to cope with. And obviously we think of them and support them at this time as well.
Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Five to six on Manx Radio. Downing Street says that Boris Johnson is updating his cabinet about the government for next steps to Brexit. It's all happening. In Westminster earlier, it emerged a debate on the deal won't be brought back to Parliament next week. The owner of the Rubik's Cube has lost the right to an EU trademark. It was given one for the shape of the classic multicoloured puzzle in 1999, but then it was withdrawn in 2017. Maybe you still have a Rubik's Cube, eh? That's it for our update tonight. Thanks to all the news gathering team at Manx Radio. To producer Sarah Hendy, I'm Andy Wint. And I'll be back tomorrow night at 5:30 for another update on Manx Radio.